Last week, I shared with you a relatively, how should we say this, a relatively interesting Gemara about how they procured the Shamir worm. Anybody remember the Gemara, the nice story about Ashmedai and the procurement of the Shamir worm? Those are
actually... Yeah, no, but I'm looking where mine is. I brought mine.
Okay.
Oh, fine.
So I wanted to begin today because I have this a very interesting book by Rabbi Gal Ariel called Midrash Melech, and he discusses this idea of Ashmedai. He discusses in Midrash about Ashmedai. So I want to continue. I mean, where does this all come from? Where do these Midrashims come from? That this idea that Shlomo had to go to the king of the demons. I mean, who is the king of the demons and et cetera, et cetera. So the Gemara continues. I did not photocopy it for today, so I will read it to you and tell you the continuation of the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Solomon detained Ashmedai with him until he finished building the Holy Temple. So when he got Ashmedai, he kept him. And once he had him under his spell, he had him under with the special signet ring with the name of God inscribed in it. I guess once you have the king of the demons at your beck and call, you know.
You got it made. Sounds good to me.
Why let go, right? Hey. So one day, Solomon was standing alone with Ashmedai. So I'm reading the Artur Gemara. He said to Ashmedai, "Ketziv, it's written, Ketoafot Ra'im Lo, the lofty and the towering are his, are God's." And we say, okay, Ketoafot Elu Malachi HaSharis, the lofty, these are the ministering angels. Ra'im Elu HaShedim, the towering, these are the demons. So he's saying to the Ashmedai, the king of the demons, in what way are you demons superior to humans? So, well, what's so good about you?
Yeah.
So, you know how they say, you know, put down those weapons and take it outside and I'll show you? You know, so Ashmedai says, he says, take your chain off me and give me your ring and I will show you my superiority. Well, you're so tough with that ring, give me the ring and I'll prove it to you. See, Shlomo, what does he do?
I hope he doesn't
takes off the ring.
Oh, yeah. And he's supposed to be a smart man.
He took off the chain and gave him the ring. You're so tough.
Yeah.
Let's see. Okay. Right. Once freed, Ashmedai, Bal-A, swallowed either, it's not clear, Shlomo or the ring. Okay. He then placed one of his wings in heaven and one of his wings in the earth. And he threw Solomon a distance of 400 parsecs. Goodbye. See you later.
Okay.
Yeah. It was regarding this period of his life that Shlomo said, "My Yitron La'adam b'chol amalo she'amol tachad Hashem." You know how Shlomo is very pensive when it comes to Kohelet? What's the point? What's so good? I worked so hard. Sure, because the king of the demons has cast him away 400 parsecs away, and now he's got to make his way back with nothing. Okay? So the Gemara says, what did he have left? One opinion is he said that he had his staff, and the other one said he has his cloak. So Ashmedai, the king of the demons, throws Shlomo 400 miles away with nothing. Very good.
Miles?
Whatever, parsa. How far is a parsa? I don't know either. Okay, far. Shlomo went begging from door to door.
I need Shlomo.
Right? And wherever he came, he would say, Ani Kohelet, Melech Yisrael. I am Kohelet, the king of Israel. And what did they say to him?
Yes.
Yes, and I'm the king of Rome. Right, exactly. Okay, so eventually he makes his way back to the Sanhedrin. And we came to the Sanhedrin. The rabbi said, look, Michte, Shote B'chad Milta Lo Sarich. A deranged person doesn't just say the same thing over and over again.
Is that true, by the way?
Yeah.
They could,
right? So he kept saying, "I'm the king. I'm Shlomo." So why does he, you know?
Think they're Napoleon.
So they said, they said to Benayahu, they said, "Tell us, has the king called for you recently?" Benayahu, remember, is the second in command, and he said, "No." So then they went to the queens and they said, "Has the king called for you recently?" And they said, yeah, he comes. So what happened? Ashmedai had disguised himself as King Shlomo. That's why they thought that the king was still there. Okay? So Shalchuluhu, they said, Bidku Bikare, check his feet. Why check his feet? Anybody know why they'd have to check his feet?
Maybe because a demon didn't have feet?
What? A demon has chicken feet. Right.
But if he disguised himself as Shlomo.
Can't disguise his feet.
Can't disguise his feet. Of course not.
You knew that, right?
He didn't read that chapter.
So the queen sent back. The queen sent back. Every time he comes, he wears his socks. But the katava. But there's something weird. The katava lu tavalu. He visits the queens when they're nidas, which is unusual. And something unusual also. The katava nami lebatsheva ime. He also visits his mother, Bathsheba. Right, well said. So then they like, something's wrong. Okay. So they brought Shlomo, right, and they gave him the ring back, and they gave him the chain. He runs in, the king of the demons sees him, and flies away. That's the end of the story.
Wait a minute, how did he get the ring and the chain back?
The rabbis brought Habulai of Izkata, they gave him a ring and a chain on the name of God. They had another name of God chain.
A spare one.
Right, and they gave it the second one, right? And Ashwagai flies away.
Right.
What's that? Right.
Why would Ashwagai give that up?
Right. So Rav Ariel says something very interesting. He said there was, the Midrash Giv says there was another way to get the
worm,
the Shamir worm. What was it?
Sorry.
That's it. What? No.
Sorry.
By the way, how would they do it nowadays without metal?
Lasers. I'm just going to say lasers. Of course.
So how would they get it? So the Midrash says, one opinion says that there was a nesher, an eagle, that could bring the Shamir from Gan Eden.
Oh.
Now, if you could bring the Shamir from Gan Eden, do you need to trick the king of demons and capture him?
No.
So why does Shlomo go the demon route?
Makes a better story.
Right. So he suggests that Shlomo felt that one of the flaws of Shlomo, as we're going to see, was that Shlomo felt he could control everything. That for the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash, I could even trick the king of the demons.
Wow.
Right. There's an allegory, even if you don't take it literally, that there's a power in there. And he did. And it worked. And he had them all through the construction of the Beis HaMikdash. What was his flaw? What was his mistake?
Didn't notice the chicken.
He kept him around.
Oh.
Yeah, he did notice the chicken. Meaning, he could control him, and once he felt he could control him,
he lost control. Ooh.
Right? And he said, and Ashmedai said, take off the ring. And Shlomo forgot that the ring was the thing that kept Ashmedai, kept his demons at bay. Hmm. And that Shlomo himself was unable to keep the demons at bay. And that when he thought he was in control himself and not the name of God, he lost everything. And he became nothing more than a beggar and a crazed man wandering his way through the streets of Israel trying to find his way back. So it's not as crazy. I mean, the story itself is a wild story. And by the way, an important story, just an important story to be aware of. But it's not as crazy as it sounds, according to Rav Ariel, that there's a lot of depth in there. And there's a lot of power in the message of the story of Shlomo and Ashvedai. And when I saw that, I felt I gave you the nutty story about the Shamir.
Right.
But I think it's important to also see the underlying lessons behind it. Okay.
There's also echo of Shaul and...
His demons
mm-hmm. and David, who has to pass himself off and
great
at one point.
Right. With the king of God. But Shaul, his mistake wasn't his hubris. His mistake was, I mean, his self-confidence, right? But it was a different kind of mistake. Shlomo thought he could handle everything. Because he thought, I have the wisdom of God, I can tackle anything. And we're going to see with his wives also. He thought, like, why did he have so much money? Why did he have so many wives? And why did he have so many horses? Because he said, those rules don't apply to me. I've got it under control. In reality, he did not. All right, turn to page 56?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're going to... 56. Hopefully, we're going to read it. I just don't want to skip it. So we're going to read through as you know, my book,
I bought the book, I put it down to put my coat on, and I forgot to take it.
Okay.
It's too heavy.
Yes, I understand. Vayivan Shlomo et habayit vayichalein. So Shlomo Solomon built the sanctuary, the king, the sanctuary, and he finished the structure. So as you know, when you build a building, first you build a structure. Then what do? First you build the outside structure. Then you drywall. And then what do?
Paint.
And you paint. That's exactly what they do. They fill in the exterior structure. What?
They didn't use
drywall. Well, we'll see. They came close. Okay. By even the kirot habayit vibayta b'tzalot arazim. So instead of using drywall, what did they use? They built the walls of the temple on the inside with cedar. Mikarka habayit akirot hasipun, from the floor until the ceiling. Okay. Chipa eitz mibayit, he covered with cedar. Vayetzav et karka habayit b'tzalot brashim. And he overlaid the floor with cypress board. This was unheard of. It was unimaginable, a level of opulence and wealth to cover the floors. Who would ever hear of covering the floors with anything but dirt?
Right.
Okay, so to cover the floors was just an incredible wealth. Vayiven et esrim ama v'yakitze habayit v'tzalot arazim v'inkarka arakirot. He built the 20 cubits at the rear of the temple of cedar boards from the floor to the beams. So, if you look at your, I think I gave out a sheet. There should be a sheet there. Okay, you'll see that on the bottom, right, the bottom of that little drawing of Shlomo's temple, right, there's 20 by 60, and the back 20 are the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And it's not, and you see the measurements, the 20 is, it's 20, each one is 20 by 20. So the Holy of Holies is 20 by 20, and that's called the Devir. Okay? You're dying. And there were 40 amos outside. That was the heichal. So you have a 40 by 20 space and a 20 by 20 space. And this was exactly double the measurements of the mishkan in the desert. The erez el habayit pnima. Okay, the cedar upon the temple inside. Miklat pikaim upturei tzitzim was a network designed of knobs and blossoming flowers. Hakol erez ein even near it. Everything was covered with cedar. Stone was not visible. So what did they do to the wood on the inside of the Beit HaMikdash? How did they decorate it?
It's carvings. Carvings,
right. If you've ever seen, fancy moldings, we don't really see this anymore. Right, this type of building is not available to us. But they, I guess, I don't even know how they would do it. They carved it by hand, it must have been. They had a guy carving by hand.
Yeah, but it's from here.
If they couldn't use metal, they carved it.
I guess you could carve it with stone.
Stone.
Right. You can carve wood with stone, can't you?
Yeah.
They
didn't have a knife.
What?
Use
wood. I remember also some say they did the wood outside and then they brought it in. Right. Okay. Udevir b'toch habayit mipnima hechin. So and he prepared this devir. The devir is the sanctuary. The titait sham, the titain sham at Aron Brit Hashem. To place in it the Aron of God. So the devir was cubic, 20 amos by 20 amos by 20 amos. Vayitzapehu zahav sagur. So then he had wood on the stone, and on top of the wood, gold. Okay, sagur, zahav sagur. So what does it mean, zahav sagur? I think I have a midrash on that. Sealed, closed. Is it Rashi on Sagur? Yes, Rashi. Okay? Rashi on Zahab Sagur, second Rashi. Pirshubo Rabotena, the rabbis explained, B'sha'asha niftach limaker, when the markets opened, kol chanayot acharot niskarot. When this gold store opened, every other store closed. Why? Because it was such fine gold, why bother opening? Right? That's the stuff for sale. Okay? I mean, beyond the time, you're getting Dahab Tav. Right? Dahab Tav, Zahab Tav. Good gold. Meaning, Kilomar, meaning, Mishiesh no Minenu, so grow the Atzmo. If you had that gold, you kept it to yourself. Right, what's the difference between 18 karat gold and 24 karat gold? You look like you would know.
What's
the purest gold?
24 karat gold is pure gold.
So 24?
24 is pure?
Yeah.
24. And 18 has a lot of judgment in it?
It's an alloy.
Right.
It's an alloy.
It's actually much stronger than 24 karat. 24 mm-hmm. karat gold is very malleable. It's very delicate. It can actually bend and break. Mm-hmm. So that's why you have 18 karat to put the strength into it.
Yeah, I don't know. Whenever they get it, everybody... Yeah. So you can imagine a room. What's this room? This room is how many feet, probably? almost 20 by 20? 20 by 20? So it's only by 20. It's about, and it's not square, but cover all the walls with pure gold.
Incredible. It actually takes less gold than anything.
But to paint it on?
You don't paint it on.
You smash it out.
It becomes like a foil.
Even so,
whatever it is,
it's not an enormous. It's a lot less gold than you would think.
It's not thick.
It's very thin, I'm sure.
It's molecular.
Molecules thick.
Molecules.
Really?
Well, theirs would have been thicker.
Theirs probably would have been. It was based on
needle. It like gold leaf now. Yeah. Cooks use it on food. Yeah. Gold leaf because it's so thin.
And it's so thin.
Russians sadly found it inside churches, I think, entire roof.
What did they do?
Entire roofs of a big church. They found this gold. St. Petersburg was a huge angel. And
okay, I think it was a big deal. It sounds pretty impressive to me.
Yeah, okay.
Chav Gimel 23. Vayash bedvir, and the name on this devir, Shnei Kruvim Atse Shaman of olive wood, two Kruvim. Kruvim are, remember, the angel-looking things. Atse Shaman, Eser Amo Kamato. Each one was 10 amos high. V'chamesh amo knaf hakruv achad. One wing was 5 amo. V'chamesh amo knaf hakruv sheni. And the other wing was 5 amo. Asher amo miktzot knafav v'ad kitzot knafav. So it was 10 amo from one edge of the wings to the other. Okay? So each one was 10 amo. So one end, each one was 10 by 10. Okay, and now so
no, the wing is 5 by 5.
Each.
Oh, that's right. There are two of them.
Right.
That right.
The whole thing was 10 by 10. Right. Now the room is 20 by 20. 20 by 20. So if you took 10 by 10 and put 10 by 10 next to each other, it would took up the entire length.
Wouldn't they be like this?
It wouldn't matter. It takes up the whole. It takes up the whole entire space of the. Right, it would have to at least the length of one dimension of the dvir of the sanctuary. It takes up the whole space. Right?
The roof is not square.
What?
It means like this, but
no, it wouldn't take up the whole space. But it would take up either the length or the width. I don't remember. I think the length. You understand what I'm saying?
If it was 20 by 20.
The room is 20 by 20, but these kruvim together had to be 20 by 10, because each one was 10 by 10. I think that's
why
I understand 10 it. Because each wing was 5.
I understand. It's 10. This depth shouldn't be
big. Right. We only know, let's say, the vertical.
Well, I'm telling you this for a reason.
Yeah, okay.
Because the Midrash says the following. Okay. Look at the Midrash source number 3 in your sheet. Okay.
Maybe they were 10 tall.
Look at the sheet, source number 3. Well, Lishnei ha-devir asim amah orech. Right? In front of the devir 20 amas. Amar Ablevi. Ablevi says the following. Davar zeh misoret bi'adein un yavasein. We have the following tradition. Makom aron eina min hamida. Right? The aron did not fit into the Kodesh HaKadashim. It was not part of, the place of the aron was not part of the measurement. Okay? Meaning it did not take up any space. How is that? Tanya nami hachi. We're going to write that. Aron she'asa Moshe. The aron that Moshe said, Yeshlo eser amot l'chol ruach. It was 10 amos in every direction. Uktiven it says, V'lifnei adavir esrim ama orech, v'esrim ama rochav, v'esrim ama komato, v'yitzapeu zahav. Okay, so if you do the calculations, right, the idea was that if you tried to fit in the aron between the kruvim, it wouldn't fit.
Right.
So how did it fit?
It was a miracle,
and then the iron somehow fit.
On the top?
What? What's that? Where's the iron going to go? It'll fit, don't worry.
Right. Then they just added on a foot here.
And that's why I guess they were talking about the gold, because even the gold took up a width.
I don't know if that's true.
Okay.
Page 60 at the top. The Esher Ba'amah Akruv Hasheni Nida Achat. Right, and the other kruv was 10 cubits, 10 amos. What midachat the ketzav achat the shnei kruvim. Okay, they were one. They were both the same measurement. Komana kruv achat eser ba'ama v'chein akruv hasheni, and they were also 10 amot high. So they were 10 amos wide, 10 amos high. How long were they? It's unclear how long they were. Okay, va'yitein ha'kruvim b'toch ha'bayit ha'panimi. So he put these kruvim inside that inner courtyard, that inner room. and they spread out the wings of these kerubim. But tigak knafa echad bekir, uknaf kerubav hasheni nogat bekir hasheni. So they touched, each one touched the walls. The kanfehem otoch habayit nogat knaf el knaf. So it's clear. It seems clear to me that they touch one wall, and they touch the back, and they touch the front. They took out basically the entire room, these kerubim. Okay, and then he covered it with gold, which apparently isn't such a big deal. Okay, now I have a picture. Thank you, Mrs. Black, for bringing this unbelievable book, okay, which has pictures of the Beit HaMikdash, which make it a lot easier. I was searching for this kind of thing. The way they describe it, the way they look at it, they show it, it's very interesting. They show them this very thin kruvim. That the kruvim, I always had the impression that the kruvim, the wings sort of came out and over, that they were much more massive than this. But if you look at this picture, they show them literally side by side, and then the Aron went under it. Mm-hmm. But I guess there would be no other way to show an impossible picture other than drawing it somehow. Okay. And they show, actually, if you can see here, they show the Kohen coming in on Yom Kippur. And what's interesting is, notice what's next to the Aron. They put a staff, right, which is the staff of Aaron that sprouted. Remember the desert, and they have like a little Tupperware. One of those has some mun in it. I don't know what the other one is. Anybody know what the other one is? Nobody knows? I don't remember what the third one is. I have to scan these pictures in. They're wonderful, wonderful pictures. Okay, and we'll add them to the source material. What's that? Tapichi b'dvash. Well, that was the mun. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the kerubim, and they don't notice how they, in the pictures and the drawings, they obscure the faces, because nobody has any idea what these really look like. I mean, these drawings are approximations, because there are huge arguments about the exact dimensions of the Beit HaMikdash, the measurements, etc., etc. Yes.
But you also have carrying handles as well, right?
Here, there are carrying handles.
Right, they're on there, because they weren't allowed to be taken out.
They were 10 amos each too.
At least
right. Right, it went the whole way, so I guess that was the only way they could fit it in.
Yeah. What's on top of the Aron in that picture?
What's on top of the Aron? Yeah. How do you mean? The kruvim are spread out over it. It has its own kruvim.
Yeah,
the Aron has its own kruvim as well. Mm-hmm. Right, think, where does the Lost Ark? No, you never saw that one? No. Right, nobody knows what those look like either. I mean, the only way we have any idea what it looks like is because... Yeah, there were the small ones that were on the Aron built in the desert by Moshe, and then Shlomo made another set of kruvim, that was inside the Kodesh HaKadashim in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so I guess you had double kruvim. Pasuk Chaf Tet 29. The et kol hakirot habayit meishab kala pituchei mikleot. Okay, all the walls of the temple were surrounded by designs, an engraved network of figures and kerubim and palms and blossoming flowers in the inside chamber and in the outside chamber. Meaning, again, this fine work was covered with gold, and then, I'm not sure, it's probably what they did was they built in the, it was all carved into the woodwork that they had, and then they covered that with gold afterwards. That's
I have a really dumb question.
Yeah.
If no one was allowed to be in the Kodesh Kodeshim, how did they get this decorated? I guess.
What do you mean? First of all, it's not true that no one was allowed to be in there.
Except for the Kohen.
Kohen was allowed to be in there. It wasn't the Kodesh Kodeshim until it's consecrated.
Oh, okay. That's it. That you answered the question.
And number three is they definitely needed somebody to do work.
They had people come in, of course.
Uh-huh.
No, they
couldn't
clean.
Right, how the cleaning crew come in?
I don't know. That's what always amazed me, I guess.
No, they had.
That was maybe the work.
When there were times that someone had to go in, they had a box.
Yeah.
But they would let a person, they would put a person in a box, in a sense. They would. I think they had a whole system of pulleys in case the guy died, then they'd have to drag him out somehow.
Yeah.
Right, but people were permitted to.
I always wondered about that.
Right.
I just couldn't imagine if okay.
It'll be one of those dirty job episodes.
Not a dirty job. I mean, how'd you like the job? You may or may not come out of here.
Yeah, well, that's the Kohen Gadol job. That's what we call that. It's called being the Kohen Gadol. You know, you want it once. Okay. Ustei daltot, I'm sorry, 31. The et petach ha-devir, and the doors of this devir, asha atzei shemen, they were made of olive wood, ha'ayil amzuzot chamishit. They were pentagonal doors. Okay, so it's not entirely clear. I didn't see in the pictures, but they have a picture, an idea of what the doors look like. And here, no, because there's a curtain
is it
on
the
this.
The door, or was it the door frame?
The door frame was a pentagonal. So it's unclear if it's one pentagon or two. I had a picture here in the dot mikra, and it's all a guess. There, it really is all a guess. Let me see if I can find it here. Yeah, you can see here. This is it's not really a pentagon, but it's a five-sided door. Okay. Yes, sir. Yeah. Chas. Okay. Yes.
So it sounds like there was a...
The Devir was a partition. The Devir was like, if you built a big room, mm-hmm. and then you divided it. So they called the Devir the partition, but they also called it the inner room inside the partition, behind it.
So there was surrounded by halls.
Yes, right? Yes.
Oh, so the Devir itself was not it wasn't 20.
No, it was. The hallways are not included in the measurements of 20 by 20. If you look on the page, the hallway was not included in the 20 by 20.
Oh, but the wall, the 20 by 20 is the inner space of the
sphere. It's the inner space. I think it's the inner space. That was my understanding.
Yes, so it's out.
Yeah, then my understanding it is the inner space. See, if you look, here's another picture. Here's another picture. Oh, including the wall, you mean? In this picture, it's. I can't answer that. I don't know. I'd have to see these schematic drawings. They're not available. They're probably in the Vatican somewhere. Okay.
Yes.
You mean everything's on the internet? Just Google plans for First Temple. Okay. Okay. So you have these two doors. Okay. Ustei daltot atse shemen. So you have these two doors made of olive wood. Again, you have the same kind of designs of kruvim, the timot, the p'tirei tzitzim, tzipazahav, blossoms and flowers, and he overlaid all that with gold. And he also, right, pressed gold over the kruvim and the palms. So everything was gold. You walked into that room, there was no color other than real gold. So the entrance to the heichal, the doorpost, the mezuzah is the doorpost, right? Made of shemen, of olive wood, made harivit, which were four-sided. Ustei dalchot atei broshim, and two doors made of cypress wood. Shnei tzalaim, delet ha'achad gulunim, ushnei tzalaim, delet ha'shani gulunim. With two rounded hinges for one door, and two rounded hinges for the second door. Now remember, we don't think that's such a big deal. But these were huge doors, and having rounded hinges for doors, probably was a big deal at the time. Okay.
Was there seriously a plan for how this was supposed to be built, or this is just how he wanted it?
No. The Midrash says that clearly it was designated by God. God gave him the exact measurements of how the Beit HaMikdash, right. The Midrash is God designed, not man designed. This is how the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted it made. And the plans for the third Beit HaMikdash appear, the second Beit HaMikdash, I'm not sure, and the third ones appear in Yechezkel. There are measurements of the Beit HaMikdash. Okay? Then engraved on the doors designs of kruvim and ponds of blossom flowers. He overlaid them with gold, which was flattened with the engraved designs. He built a wall around the inner courtyard, three rows of hewn stone and a row of cedar beams. Okay, and this row, it went around the whole courtyard. There was a low wall. Okay, so three rows of stones and then a row of low beams. Finally, okay, in the fourth month, the foundation of the house of God was established. In the month of Ziv, what did we say Ziv was?
First
month, okay. Tishrei. Ubashana ha'charse, in the 11th month of Yerach Bul, in the month of Bul, u'achodesh hashmini, which is the 8th month, and everybody knows 8th month is? Nisan? Does that make sense? You'll all figure it out. Okay. Nisan the 7th. Iyar. Tishrei, Cheshvan, Kislev, Tevet, Shvat, Adar, Nisan. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Yes, thank you. Take to the Hebrew school teacher, you tell me. Okay. Kira Abayi L'chol D'Varav V'L'chol Mishpata Abayi Yivanehu Sheva Shanim. 7 years it took to build the Beit HaMikdash. I have more pictures for you, but we'll see them in a minute because they're not done describing the pictures of the outer, the pictures of the Beit HaMikdash. Okay. I got time. Okay. Parag Zion, I want to finish this chapter today, and there's only 52 minutes. The et beito bana shlomo, shlosh esrei shana, vayichal et kol beito. So it seems, in Shat, there is an interlude, and the Navi goes on to interrupt this story by talking about the house that Shlomo built for himself. Okay? What was this house called? By even at Beit Yar HaLevanon. He built this place called Beit Yar HaLevanon, which is the house of the Lebanese forest. Okay, May Ama Arko, and thank God for Arko. 100 amos wide, the 50 Ama Rachbo, 50 amos width, so Shima Ma Komato, right? 30 amos long, Al Arbat Ture Amude Arazim, over 4 rows of cedar pillars, Ukutot Arazim Alamim, with cedar beams over the pillars. So, now by the way, why is it called Beit Yar HaLevanon? So there's a number of reasons. Some say because it took the Yar HaLevanon
to build it.
Others say, look how it's built. If you look at it, it was again, unheard of in its time to build a house on pillars. Even house on pillars. Back then, you wanted to build a house, what did you do? If you were lucky, you got stone, and if you were unlucky,
you got mud.
Mud. What? You got adobe, right? So they take wood, to use the wood to make pillars upon which you're going to build a frame. It was just unimaginable.
Decadent.
Yeah. Okay, and also others say that it was called Beit Yar HaLevanon. It's unclear where the Beit Yar HaLevanon entirely was. Because many say it was Shlomo's summer home. So, up in the air and nice and restful. It was built very much open for the...
So this is like built with leftovers?
No, in addition. Shlomo built the Beit HaMikdash, and when he's getting the materials, he ordered a little extra, and he built his house. Rashi interestingly says that this is complementary to Shlomo, that the fact that he first built the Beit HaMikdash, then only then does he go and then build his own palace later, and it takes much, much longer to build his palace because he's focusing his energies on the Beit HaMikdash. But you can imagine, by the way, the huge financial burden this is on the Jewish people. Right? Beit HaMikdash they get. And then what do you say? Oh, well, I'm not done yet. What about the king's summer home? So what do the people say?
They don't say anything.
They don't have much of a choice. They're not asked. Right? He's the king. He wants a house. He built him a house. Okay. Gimel, 3. V'safun be'erez mimal al hatzla'ot asher ala amudim. It was roofed with cedar overhead. Upon the boards that were atop the pillar, arba'im chamisha, chamisha asar hatur. There were 45 boards, 15 per row. Now, I don't know why it gives us this great detail. I really don't know. Uskufim shlosha turim. There were also 3 rows of windows. Umachazeh, melchazeh, shalosh pa'amim. Okay, opening opposite, opening 2 times. So you can see that it was built in such a way, window open to window, open to window. It was very, very open, the house. And the commentaries say the reason is because of... They wanted the air to flow through it, because otherwise it would have been very stuffy in such a large house without central air conditioning. One wonders, though, why Shlomo in his wisdom didn't just invent it, but they don't know. Hey, all the doors and door posts had 4-sided frames. Again, they were aligned, opening, opposite, opening 3 times.
Maybe that was the air conditioning. Maybe he did invent it.
100%. What? So you can see in the picture, right, in the picture of the detail following Rashi's commentary, you can see that there are the small boards and the planks on top of the small boards and the cedar beams and the cedar pillars, right? All of this stuff seems relatively simple by today's standards, but being back then that cedar came imported from the king of Lebanon, right, it was a big deal. Okay? Pasuk Vav. Et ulama amudim asa chamishim ama. He made a hall for the building of pillars. 50 cubits in length. Ushloshim ama rachbo. 30 wide. Can you imagine a room? 50 by 50 amos by 30 amos, which was 75 by 50. There's a huge room. I mean, to build a room the size of our... Not our social hall. Our social hall is bigger than that. Small soul? Even so, it was a very, very large room. Because how would you build a room that had the supports that were large enough that didn't need pillars in the middle. Like your average room of those days was extremely small, correct? I mean, you went into the medieval building also? Into medieval architecture? This one did. No, but the rooms itself, when you use cedar, you can use the cedar as cross beams. So you can have a room that's 50 by 30, whereas most people couldn't afford such luxuries. Okay. Ulam HaKise, Asher Yishpat Sham, right, and the throne room, Ulam HaMishpat Asai, made a room of judgment, the Safun Be'erez, the Karka Ad Karka. Okay, it was covered with cedar wood from one floor to the other. Ubeito asher yashav sham, I'm talking, hey, asher yashav sham, chatser ha'acheret, ni beita ulam, kemaaseh hazeh haya. His house where he would live, which was in another courtyard beyond the hall, was the same way. Ubeit yaseh lebat karo asher lakach shlomo kulam hazeh. Bat karo, she got her own house, right? She had another house, similar size. So each one, can you imagine, he's building house after house after house, all on pillars, all huge. Kol eila avanim mikarot kemidot gazit, migorot b'mageram b'bayit v'nichutz. All these were built of valuable stones, the size of hewn stones, filed smooth with a file, on the inside and the outside. V'mimasad atvachot v'nichutz arachatzer ha'gdolah. Okay, and from the foundation to the ceiling, from the outdoors to the great courtyard. So again, they also, when they would use brick, they would use rough brick. Anybody ever remember when you go to the Beis Hamikdash, you go to the, even to the nowadays, you see different styles of brick. Right? You can see there's rough-hewn brick, and then later on, the Second Temple era, they were using much more smooth brick. So in Shlomo's house, when they cut the stones back when you wanted to use even rock, which is very expensive for your house, they would use rough rock and they would fit it in. Shlomo said, no way. I don't want rough rock. I want smooth walls. Makes you feel how spoiled we are, right? Look at we're sitting here, finely wood-covered paneled, you know. Does make you think, doesn't it? Okay. It was founded upon valuable stones, heavy stones, stones of 10 cubits or 8 cubits, right? How heavy is a 10 amma stone? 15-foot wide stone?
Heavy.
Very heavy. And above it, there were valuable stone size of yun and cedar. You'd bet. The chatzer ha'gidolah saviv shloshat turim gazid, the tur kutot arazim. And the great courtyard all around, its walls were made of three rows of yun stone and a row of cedar boards. Just like it was made for the inner courtyard of the Temple of Hashem and for the Hall of Hashem. Okay, that's Beit Dar al-Banon. If you want to build a model, we're going to have a project, and someone can build a model of the Beit, pops it out of Beit, pops it out of Beit. What?
The pyramids were built out of
popsicle sticks and matches.
And they go back to thousands, right? Thousands of years.
The cedar wood? Covered with cedar? Built in the air?
It's not covered with
built in the air on pillars?
They
are. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, they did amazing things. Really amazing things. Okay.
In Jordan, there's a building that's, I think it's 3,000 years old.
In Petra.
In Petra.
Right, but that's carved out of the side of the mountain.
It's built out of the mountain.
I know, they carved it on the side of the mountain.
It was regular stone that they chiseled.
But didn't they carve it? They carved it out of the mountain.
It was a mountain and they carved it.
I was there.
Right, but it's not a real building.
It sure is a real building. I was there.
They didn't build it. They chipped it out of the mountain.
They chiseled it out of the, but it looks like a building that was built right today.
Right. So these guys knew what they were doing. Not messing around. Vayishlach HaMelech, Pasuk Yigimah. Vayishlach HaMelech Shlomo, Vayikach et Chiram b'Tzor. So he needed this guy named Chiram from Tzor. So in Divrei Yamim it says that, you know, in order to build, right, you know, there's, how many people in the world today could carve craft, if I wanted carved wood craftsmanship molding, how many people are in the world today that could do that?
Not very many.
Right. I mean, it doesn't, you know, so, if you want to do it, if you want to do it for the Beis Hamikdash, so he says, I want the best guy there is. So he went to the king of Tyre, and he said, send me this guy named Chiram, also named Chiram. Then he shall manahu, mimatei Naphtali. So he's a wife of a widow, from a Naphtali. Va'aviv ish tzori, chalish nechoshet. His father had been a Tyrian coppersmith. Va'yalet chachma ve'et hatmuna ve'et hadat. And he had wisdom and knowledge and understanding. La'ashot kol malachah ben nechoshet. He knew how to do copper. About this guy, I want him, brings him down. So now I want to do the two pillars. Okay, these are the pillars of Shlomo. So each pillar was 18 amos high. Okay, and a 12 cubit string could go around it, likewise to the second pillar. 18 high, and it was apparently
circumference.
It's hard to understand that some mafarshim say that the 12 amos went around both. Because if you look at the drawings that they make, this pillar, if this is 18 amos high, which is hard to believe. Okay, if you look at this drawing, there's no way a 12 amma string would go around it. The circumference of that would be 4 or 5 ammos.
Mm-hmm.
So some say maybe it was around both pillars. You can't see the picture. See, those are the pillar that it's describing. Okay, I have another picture of the pillar here. Here, and we're going to see there are these pillars. Okay? Where am I? 16. Tzayin. Ustei aman perak zayin pasuk tzayin. Ustei kotarot asa. I take al rashei amudim. He made these two like crowns to go on top of these pillars. Mutzak nechoshet that were molten copper. Chamesh amot komat hakuteret achad. So each crown was 5 amot high. The chamesh amot komat hakuteret hasheni. And the other one was also 5. Yeah, these are the two pillars you'll see in the picture. Well, however you want to describe it, each one, it had a ball on top of it, right? And then there was a something else on top of the pillar. Hold on a second. If you look at this picture, they describe in the Dat Mikra, there's a ball and then a crown on top of the ball. All made out of copper.
This was solid copper?
I find that hard to believe, don't you?
It's a lot of money.
What? Right. Wouldn't make so much sense. Let's say a foot and a half to 2 feet. Half a meter. Right, so this is 18 amos high, 35 feet high, 40 feet high. Okay? Shvachim ma'asei shvacha, gedilim ma'asei sharsherot. So there were nettings of meshwork. So this is why, this is very, if you look at this one, I'll send it around. You can look at it very carefully. You can see the nettings of the meshwork that they describe on it. Okay? Sharsherot laketeret asher alosha amudim. These were nettings of meshwork and ropes of chainwork on the capitals that were made on the pillars. Shiva loketeret achad b'shiva loketeret sheni. Right? 7 designs for one capital and 7 designs for another capital. Okay. And then he made the pillars. He placed 2 rows going all around the one netting to cover the capitals that were on top with the pomegranates, and he did likewise for the second capital. Okay, your cat. V'chotarot al shir al rosh amudim ba'asei shushan ba'ulam arba amot. And then you can see in the Dat Mikra picture, there were these flowery things. If you look at Miriam, pass it along. There were these like out these you know sprouty flowery things like these chotarot that grew mimal that were 4 amot wide. I want to share with you a midrash. I'm sorry that I found a very unbelievable midrash. The midrash says, remember I told you it was called Beit Yar Halavanon.
Right.
So the midrash says that it wasn't Shlomo's house that was called Beit Yar Halavanon. The Beit HaMikdash was called Beit Yar HaLevanon. Why? Lomar Yilchat, to teach you, Ma Yar Milavev, just like a forest, Milavev, flowers, grows, Af Beit HaMikdash Milavev, the Beit HaMikdash also grew. How? Says Rabbi Oshia says, B'Shah Shabana Bo Beit HaMikdash, when Shlomo built the Beit HaMikdash, Natabo kol megadim shel zahav. He had all these flowerings, these fruit trees of made out of gold. V'hayu motziim peirot bismanehem.
No way.
And they would grow fruit in season.
inside gold.
Yes.
Of gold.
I guess. The kevan sharach menashavet behem. When the wind would blow. Hayu no shrim peirotehem. The fruit would fall off.
Uh-oh.
Umehem haita parnasa lekuna. And then that's how they come and they made their money.
That's how they made their livelihood.
Is that the precursor?
Now, by the way, you could read that Midrash differently.
Yes.
That the fruits of the Beis HaMikdash were, you know, that's how the Kohen survived. But the Midrash is like a little bit, you know,
flowery.
Well said. Okay. So everybody saw the crown on top of the pillar. Okay. The Koteret Asher Aman Tazachaf. Did I do that? The Koteret Asher Amudim Gamimah Milumata Beten Asher Leiver Hashvacha. Okay. And there were capitals on the two pillars. Also the top opposite the bulge. That was the end of the netting. Turim Shaviv Al Koteret Asher. There were 200 pomegranate figures arranged in rows around the second capital. So, you know, if you look at what, oh, here, the next page, see how they put the flowerings? So they have it a little differently. And the bottom line is, nobody has any idea what it actually looked like. Right? There's nobody to know. As beautifully as it's described, so you see one picture in that mikra, one in art scroll, and one in the history of the temple book, they all look different. I'm sure it was magnificent. Can you imagine just the ornateness of 200 pomegranates that are designed around these pillars? As just described, I mean, it's hard to believe.
35
feet up in the air, made out of pure copper. Mm-hmm. Pretty nice. Okay. Vayakem et ha'amudim b'ulam ha'echal. So he made up, he established the amudim. Vayakem et ha'amud ha'yumini v'ayikra et shemo yachim. Okay? That he made one pillar and he called it yachim. Vayakem et ha'amud ha'shmoli, the left one, v'ayikra et shemo bo'az. Yachim was from the word lachim, prepared, ready. Bo'az, from what word?
Strength.
Oh, strength. So God is ready and God is prepared. Okay?
Freestanding pillars.
The Al-Rosh, what?
Nothing.
We're very smart.
Oh, what do you mean? Oh, it says established. See? Well, I didn't even look at the English. Cheaters. Okay.
Oh, you didn't consult Rabbi Shlomo?
The Al-Rosh Amudim, look at the pictures. Al-Rosh Amudim, Ashei Shoshan, Vakitam Lechad Amudim. On the pillars is placed a flowered figure, and the work of the pillars was complete. All right, you want to stop here, or you want to try to plot on? What? Freestanding pillars outside the outer courtyard of the Heichal. Okay, this is inside the Beit HaMikdash, but outside the temple itself. Okay, this is outside the outer courtyard, and then inside of that, you can see here we go. You can see the whole structure here in this picture. Beautiful pictures. Wow. Magnificent. Okay, you see the outer pillars, you see the pillars, and the courtyard itself was extremely large. It led to the Kodesh, and the Kodesh HaKodeshim were in here, and you can see the offices as they were built here. Now, all this is an honest rendition. They have no idea if this gold leaf was out there. You know, I imagine it was more like a house, to be honest with you. They imagine a flat roof, but I'm not entirely sure that was done back then. It's not clear how they did it to drive, when the rain came, how they would drain out the rain. You know what I'm saying? So this is all sort of imagined. And there's a reason, we're going to get to this. We're going to get to this big kior and these little wagonettes. Yeah, you can see them. We'll get to them. I guess, what time is it? Is it time to stop?
7
of. I got more time. Okay, let's go. Latishma. Okay. Did I skip? I was going to skip. Here we are. Okay. Yes, we are. Vayat et hayam. Chav Gimbo. I'm on 23. Page 72. Vayash et hayam. He made the sea. The yam was basically a pool. Well, what do they need the sea for, the pool for? Right. It had to be a mikvah. We're going to see that it was a mikvah, but also to wash the hands, he needed a reservoir of water. Especially if there were hundreds and hundreds of kohanim that could wash at any given time.
Would this be related to the ceremony of the water?
No.
That was, oh.
No, that wasn't what it was for.
Oh, okay.
The yam was on the outside. So he made this yam. Mutzak eser ba'ama. Okay. It was cast metal, 10 cubits from one misfatel sfato, agol saviv, round around it. The chamesh ba'ama komato. Okay, and it was 5 amot tall. The kav shaloshim ba'ama yisov oto saviv. Any not trigonometry, geometrists. So if it's, oh, here we have scientists. If the diameter is 10, yes, what is the circumference?
Multiply by 3.
Right, that's exactly what it says. 30 almost around. 3.1416. So it's approximately 30. I guess the Navi said figure it out. It wasn't 31. Okay. Upekaim mitachal lishvatos saviv sovivimoto eser ba'amah. There were knobs all around surrounding it, 10 cubits in length. Makivim et hayam saviv. They were girding it around it. Shnei turim apkeim yitzukim b'yitzukato. Okay, two rows of knobs which were cast with the casting of the sea. Okay. Wow. Omed al shnei mashar bakar. Shloshapanim shmona, ushloshapanim yama, ushloshapanim negba, ushloshapanim mizracha. So you can see in the picture, right, there, it was on top of these knobs, and on top of that, under that, there were these cattle, right? They were made out of copper cattle. They had copper cows. Let me see if I can, is it history of the temple? It's incredible. Hold on a second.
This is what they're talking about, the sea, the pool that was beneath the for washing that we're just talking about.
I lost my place in this book. Is it the beginning?
That copper would be stronger than water.
Here we are. Okay, so you'll see here the way they draw it, right? You see here they have these three. I'm not sure where they put the knobs. It's unclear where they have these knobs. See the three copper cows in each direction facing outward under the yam. In their picture, it's hard to imagine that it's 10 amos wide. It seems bigger than that. Although, no, it's not, because if you look at the people here, right, the people are small. 10 amos wide? Yeah, they built it. I'm sure they tried to build it to draw it to scale. That's a pretty nutty pool.
How do you get into it?
Significant
cattle underneath. Okay, to be honest with you,
no,
I have no idea. You have to read the entire Parish of the Abarbanel on this chapter, and then the Malbim gives you something. And if you really want to get into it, then the Kubbalim go nuts about this stuff. You know. So the simple answer to your question is, I have no idea.
Go to the templemount.org. There's yeshiva, the temple.
Then the tens go to the Esher, the tens she wrote. I mean, there's a lot of symbolism there.
But copper is not...
I must say... So it must have been fortified in some way. I must say, I personally, I've never really been able to relate to a lot of the imagery in the Beit HaMikdash. I think we're sort of distant from it. Okay. Pasuk Avav, the Avyo Tefach, its thickness was a Tefach, Usvato K'maseh Svakos. It was thick as a Tefach, this is a Tefach, you know, in most of its thickness, but when it came up to the edge, it was like a cup. It was a very thin edge. Perach Shoshan, okay, with a rose blossom design. Alpayim bat yachil. Its capacity was 2,000 bath meters. It was a huge, huge pool that they would use in order to draw water from which they would purify the vessels and the hands and the feet of the Kohanim. I don't think they used it as a mikvah.
Yeah, I was going to say,
no.
Drown.
You climb on it. Well, that's how the Kohanim knew how to swim. Okay, and so then they would take from this, and we're going to see they would float, they would take from this pool, and they were going to use them to fill in these mobile lobbers, the water carrier things, I guess your mobile water stations, as we'll see, and we can see it in the picture, and they would use them in order to purify, because remember, any animals also that were slaughtered had also to be washed. And I said, how do you wash it? Where'd you get the water from? So they had to have movable sinks, in a sense, in order to rinse off the blood off the animals before they would then offer the pieces on the Mizbeach. Okay, I will stop here, and we'll finish this stuff up next chapter, and we'll finish up the chapter, and we'll continue with the story of the consecration of the Beit HaMikdash, which is a rather actually fascinating story next week.